Good morning. My name is Ed Holohan, and this is The View from Here. My dad was a New Yorker, and that may be all I need to tell you about him. New York City, born and raised. Hell's Kitchen, to be exact. You already know what to think about New Yorkers. Everyone west of the Hudson River knows what to think about New Yorkers. We are a stereotype. It's our fault, to be sure. We've made it easy. The biggest city, the cultural hub, the financial capital of America, and those damned Yankees. I went right from New York to Chicago at the age of 18. It took me years to say, out loud, that I was a Yankee fan. Joe Holohan had no misgivings about where he was from. He knew that his city was the best. Well, actually, he believed that his city was the only city in our part of the world to merit the same respect as London or Paris or Rome. He once called me, his tongue deeply in his cheek, to ask me if my part of Chicago had electricity. That was my dad. He was a painter and a sculptor. He majored in philosophy and theology. He could read Latin and Greek. In his youth, he was a better than average third baseman. He made it to his last year in the seminary. He was going to be a Franciscan priest. And then he met my mom. Thank goodness for that. Now, painter sculptors really make a living from their art, and my dad was no exception. So he became an illustrator, a graphic artist, a commercial artist. He started at a pulp magazine specializing in Hollywood gossip. In no time at all, he found advertising. And advertising welcomed him. They were a match, the ad world and Joe. He was an artist with the gift of gab and the ego to match. The ad business employed thousands of them. He was good with people, and he moved through managerial positions in rapid succession. After 15 years with Young & Rubicam, at the time that was the largest ad agency in the world, he found himself in a corner office on the 20th floor. He was the director of visual presentations. It was his group that pitched every new advertising campaign to the appropriate client. This was long before computer graphics, so all the storyboards, layouts, and copy were done hands-on by an incredibly talented group of people. My favorite day every year was his department's annual open house, where a kid like me could spend hours with magic markers, box cameras, calligraphy pens, and those wonderfully entertaining artists. When my dad wasn't at work on Madison Avenue, he was at home in Woodside, Queens, New York. He had a painting and sculpture studio in the garage. He had a workshop in the garage, too. It was a two-car garage that never had a car in it. He built O-gauge model railroad trains from scratch. They were beautiful. He created a large Japanese garden complete with koi pond, weeping ficus, little waterfall, gravel paths, and moss hanging everywhere. That was beautiful, too. Every spring, he would remake our little pedal-driven fire truck into something new. One year a railroad locomotive, the next year a steam shovel, and the next year an airplane. They were all beautiful. He believed that there should be beauty in the world. He believed that he should help make it that way. It sounds funny now, but I couldn't wait to leave home. As beautiful as he made everything else, he also needed to make us, his three children, into devout, doctrinaire, orthodox soldiers of God. As much fun as life could be, his world was also full of judgment and hellfire. He spent a lot of time on his soapbox. By the time I was 16 or so, our dinner table resembled a battleground. The more independent I became, the angrier he got. We knew where each other's buttons were, and we pushed them frequently. Now, to both of our credit, we spent the last 25 years of his life in mutual respect and admiration. We put our talking points away, and instead, we reveled in how remarkably alike we really were.